The Juno architectural firm Jensen Yorba Lott surveyed the condition of the building to prepare for a planned upgrade to the windows and walls at the school. During an examination of the building earlier this year, a partner in the company, Tony Yorba, discovered an inch and a half of what may be sprayed cellulose insulation and another inch of expanded polystyrene insulation that had been installed underneath the floor of the school.
I can conjecture that possibly the one was put on to try to protect the other or to add R value. I'm not really sure. But the, at the end of the day, what you have is two layers of exposed combustible insulation on the underside of the elementary school floor.
Yorba's report states the materials are an unacceptable life safety danger to the occupants of the school and put the building at risk. He took a sample of the insulation, exposed it to flame, and says it burned completely. Yorba says he contacted a deputy state fire marshal about his finding.
I was concerned enough about it that I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going off on a tangent, because it's fairly expensive to add protection in something like this. But after talking it over, we quickly both agreed that it was a life safety issue that needs to be addressed. The fire marshal told me that the fire at Hooper Bay School a few years ago was caused by just this situation. Kids playing with matches underneath a school building caught the flammable insulation with the matches and destroyed the building.
Yorba says the spray-on insulation was an add-on sometime after the original construction of the building in the 1960s. The architect notes, as an aside, the issue is not just limited to the school, especially with local homeowners beefing up insulation with government energy rebates.
I have noticed in more than one location people leaving white insulation or the pink styrofoam, the extruded polystyrene insulation, exposed in their basements and their attics on the underside of their floor framing, and that is really dangerous. They really need to cover that with something to prevent a little flame from fully engulfing their house. I mean, it's a really dangerous situation.
The company recommends leaving the material in place under Racy Stedman Elementary and covering it with some additional insulation that's not flammable. School Superintendent Rob Thomason calls it a serious finding and hopes people do not go under the building.
We blocked it off. It's the access is limited, and I would encourage kids and parents to talk with their kids, but nobody go under there and play with anything flammable. It's made it this far. We think we can go further. It's certainly something that's raised our level of concern.
The district was already planning more than $1 million worth of work to replace the windows and walls to bolster energy efficiency at the school. The latest cost estimate, including a fix for the insulation under the school, is around $3 million. The school district is applying to the state for grant money to do the work and thinks the flammable insulation makes the overall project an emergency. Thomason thinks that could help with state funding from the Department of Education.
We, school district, believe we have a very strong case for the state funding via a grant, 70% of getting that building up to the condition that we believe it needs to be safer or protected and more energy efficient, warm for kids. Right now there's buildings and rooms in there that are very cold, and it's not winter yet.
The district has unsuccessfully applied for the state grant money in the past few years for the wall and window replacement. Petersburg School Board plans to ask the city council to put a bond issue on the local ballot a year from now in case that state grant money does not come through. The board heard an update on the project this week, and board member Jim Schwartz called the project overdue.
If we wait for it to be chosen, we may never get done. And if we wait until the legislature makes a decision to not fund it, and then we try to go to bonding, we've not been able to do that the last several years. So my suggestion is that we could do this on a two-pronged way.
Meanwhile, Board President Gene Ellis, a former legislative aide, noted the community would have to come up with 30% of the project costs with either a bond issue or a state grant. Ellis said getting the bond issue on the ballot early would give the school district time to make its case with voters.
Well, and I think you need time to educate people about the need for it and the fact that, you know, what's it's going to or not going to cost them. I think that's an important factor for local people.
Yeah.
And the fact that this, we're talking uninsulated walls and single-pane windows.
Yeah.
We're like we're heating the parking lot.
Right. Right.
The energy efficiency numbers that they use on this thing assume that you have at least double-pane windows. They don't even go down to single pane windows. And so it's just, you know, I think most people can understand uninsulated walls and single pane windows.
The project is ranked 9th on the city's overall capital project priority list, which was updated this month by Petersburg City Council. That's a drop in ranking from number 5 last year. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.